And so I feel a little, and have some commitments this afternoon, so I feel a little heavy. Can you open your Bibles to the 21st chapter of Revelation? I preach again from these words. They are so important because even though they are yet 1,000 years in the future, they're as certain as yesterday, and they're as certain. And remember, young and old, there are only two destinies. And one of the reasons we get together is, of course, to worship God, but one of the reasons we gather from week to week is to keep us from what happening, keep from happening to us what our brother talked to us about in devotions, from getting distracted or getting confused or ensnared, Jesus said, and from losing the way. And that we get together and the Word of God directs us, because there's only two destinies. Jesus said, and one leads unto life and the other leads unto eternal lake of fire. And there's only two. And a couple weeks ago I preached from this chapter. And I want to do that again with a different focus. That morning we talked about the new heaven and the new earth. This morning I've entitled the message, Our Eternal Address, or Final Address, or Place of Abode, where we will be. I had a friend one time, still my friend, but he, after he got married, he moved quite a number of places. I don't remember how many, but he was here and there, six or seven places. I remember telling my wife one time, wouldn't that be just kind of neat, cool to move around like that, and you know, all the experience you get? And no, she didn't think so. And so we've moved twice, and my point is, what we want to look at this morning is the final one, the end one, the goal. And see, if we get distracted, we won't get to the goal. And so all of our life, and our last message, we talked about this. Doesn't it just make a lot of sense to stay committed and focused now? Because that is the goal. Because there are only two destinies. Before we want to go here to this chapter, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Because some of you talked about this a little bit after the last message. And Paul says, and I don't know what all Paul meant here for sure, but he must certainly have included this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he probably was maybe talking about the things that a Christian has and experiences, but it would seem to me like he was speaking even more than that. And he says in chapter 2, verse 9, ear hath not seen, nor eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So God is making something for his people, and there's no real way for us to get a hold of it, because it's no eye or ear has ever seen or heard of such a thing. And I noticed and found that comes from a prophet of many years before Apostle Paul. That's a quote from the 64th chapter of Isaiah. Paul is quoting directly from the scriptures. Chapter 64, verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those his countenance. Continuance, and we shall be saved, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away, and there is none that calls upon thy name that stirreth him up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hands. And so he says, we're not really worthy, see. We're not really worthy of what God has done for us, and yet he does. And so Paul quotes there from the prophet of many years before, ancient words, but so true and so changing if we open our hearts to it. And Hebrews chapter 10 says that we get together, and as we get closer and closer, we get together so that we don't go the way, wrong way from the gas station, be going west instead of east. It's one of the reasons we get together. But here we are, unworthy, and yet recipients of his mercy. And God himself, we can't understand these things. Eye has not seen, ear has cannot imagine or hear. But God himself come down, made his place with man, began as a little embryo by the Spirit of God in a woman, grew up and was born, lived and died and suffered to pay the ransom for our sins. And we need to be reminded of that so that we can stay focused. And this same God, he knows who you are. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows all about you. And he gave us and left with this word, these ancient words. He gave them to us to minister to our souls and to reveal to us and to direct us. We heard that last Sunday. Greg was teaching about, those of you here, about these words. This guide for our life, that it teaches us and ministers to it if we open our hearts and impart it. And one thing I remember about Greg's grandfather, who was a man of fewer words than Greg, we went to Shirksville one morning, one Sunday evening, for revival meetings, or I don't know if a Sunday evening. And Greg's grandfather, Raymond High, was a deacon there. And he stood up to have devotions before the preacher. And he read from John 3:16-18. Now he said, these words tell us who is saved and who is not saved and why. Let us have prayer. Now, those were a few short words, but I have never forgotten that, see. And that is Jesus who came to save those who will and those who will not. And why? These words direct us. And his life and his coming and his presence and his God with us is it's a gift. It's a gift to live holy and seek and show others. And there's many things that we cannot understand. And now back here in this book, and I've been going around through it some. In the last message, we focused mostly on the first two verses about the new heaven and the new earth. And this morning, I want to move on to verse 3. And kind of just go around that whole thing there some. And we learned that John saw things and heard things. And it tells us here in this chapter that John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. And he saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. This is over 1,000 years out from where we are now, but it's just as sure as God and yesterday. It's not a dream. It's reality. And though it's far in the future, yet it is certain. And John's got a glimpse of it. He saw it in the spirit, the Bible tells us. And he saw a new heaven and a new earth, new. We don't know what that is. Eye hath not seen, and ear cannot hear nor the heart can not imagine it, but a new news, something that we can't imagine. A new heaven and a new earth, because the old heaven and the old earth were uncreated or destroyed, rolled up like a vesture, Peter says, and destroyed and melted with fervent heat, and a new one is created, and one we can't understand. One that will certainly be as real as yesterday. And the old has passed away, and the new is brought in, and it's for all believers. And if you're a believer here this morning, then it's for you. But if you're an unbeliever here and you are not saved, then it's not for you. Then your place is the lake of fire. If you're not saved this morning, your place is the lake of fire, because there's only two destinies. But if you are saved, and we are saved, and we want, then this place is ours. It's secure. I believe in security in Jesus Christ. Whosoever will and whosoever won't. So he that chooses to continue to live in holiness, it's as secure as God himself. It's for us. Yes. We talked about three Jerusalems. The old city Jerusalem, the millennium Jerusalem, but now here is a new Jerusalem. New. Prepared by God, it says, for his people. And John saw in verse 3, and he says, behold. Because he heard this great voice, and he says, this city, this new Jerusalem, is God with men. Prepared by God for his people. It's an eternal capital. Forever. It's something we can't understand. It's final, because all we know is something that has an end. This has no end. This is the final, final, final of the final, final, whatever that is. It's the final. It's our address. I don't know what Brother Gerald's address is over there at Coffin Station, but whatever it is over there, see? That's his address now, but this is the address of the people of God. And he says it's coming down. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Some versions I found says the tabernacle of God is among men. Now, God, us being with God and the Holy Spirit in us now is one thing, but this is something more. This is God with, that is us with God. This is God with us. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I'm going to look at some verses a little bit later on about this whole concept. And this city comes down ready to inhabit it. It's ready to move in. There's nothing missing. And Jesus has been working on it for 2 millennia now. For over 2,000 years, Jesus has been working on it. He told Thomas there. You know, he told them there in John 14, we read those scriptures. Well, that's just not a fairy tale. That's not just something for encouragement, although it is. It's reality 1,000 years out. But since God is who he is, and since the ancient words and the redemption story, see, is. And Thomas says, well, I mean, Jesus, how are we going to get there? He said, just follow me. See, we might as well, if we want to get there, we might as well start being like Jesus now, right? Because if you're not like Jesus now, we won't get there. So Jesus said, Thomas, just follow me. But if you're like me, I'm pretty busy during the week, and it's just easy to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted. But Jesus told Thomas, he said, I'm the way, follow me. And I'm going away, and I'm coming back. We'll talk about the little Jewish wedding in a little bit. I'm going away, and I'm going to make it, and then I'm coming back. And where I am, there you are going to be. And here John gets a glimpse of this, and he says, I saw this city coming down, New Jerusalem. Behold, look, that's what that word means. Look at the tabernacle of God is with men. And he's going to dwell. This is something that never happened before. This is all going to be brand new in a new way. So when you think about what John sees here, what he sees is precisely what Jesus promised. As sure as yesterday, as holy as God. And if we are focused on it and not distracted, so that means every part of this life is meant to do that. So that part that's not meant to get there is going the other way. And if we get distracted, we'll be like Randy's friends. And so we have this promise. We have this promise. So great a promise, Paul writes. So why not just be bold about this whole thing now? We don't need to be timid. We can be bold because this is our end. And the lake of fire is the other end. We can be bold about this thing. We can talk about this so long as we choose to be faithful. And you know, Jesus said it, I think. The worst they can do is kill your body. And if they do that, you got a short ticket. I mean, that's the worst thing that Jesus said they could do. Now, if you don't want to get there, you should just leave here and go there, because that's one of the reasons we're gathering together here, because we're people that want to get there, right? So, you know, if you don't want to be here, you should leave. You should not even have come, except that maybe somewhere inside of you, you want the Holy Spirit to convict you. And that's wonderful. And so Jesus says the worst thing that can happen is that they would kill you. But, yeah, I don't want to teach eternal security, but I do want to teach eternal security, because whosoever will and whosoever won't, see? That's the privilege we have this morning. Brother Randy already taught us this morning about this. And so when you think about what John saw here, this holy city coming down and God dwelling with men, that's the whole thing that Jesus came for, and it's the whole thing that he was thinking about, and it was the whole thing he was trying to tell Thomas and the rest and us. And when we read John 14, and when we go to a sad funeral, that's sad because we live in this life, but really, the Bible says it's a blessing because they get to go. And he comes here in the Spirit, and Jesus said, I'm going to go away, John 14, and then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And so he already is in us in some sense, dwelling in us, but not like this. Not like this yet. This is the future. So he has in us the Holy Spirit. He directs our life. He listens and answers our prayers. He gives us wisdom when we ask for it. He protects us. He guides us. He loves us. Further on this chapter, it says, I'm the Alpha. I'm the beginning and the ending. And I will give to anyone that's thirsty for it. We talked about the woman at the well in our last message. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the forever and the forever. And here in this verse, I want to point out, he says, God is coming down. The dwelling place of God is created, and Jesus has been making it for 2,000 years. A place of abode. That's what a tabernacle is. A tabernacle is where someone abides or stays. Some of us are so busy we don't abide in our houses very much. But abide means that's where you are. That's where I will find you. And God, we believe, is in the north in heaven, and there's a lot I don't understand. But here John saw this city coming down. And God is going to dwell with men. God with men. and they shall be his people, it says. And he himself shall be among them and be their God. And so you put this all together, what you have just in this verse is you have these ancient words, this Bible, that we were taught so well last Sunday, these words that God left with us along with his Holy Spirit. And so in the beginning of the book, we have the story. Man broke with God. Man broke off his relationship. Eve did it by deception, and Adam thought it was a good idea. And Paul says, upon all men. So man broke with God. That's the story that's in the beginning. And then we have all of these other pages. I'm going to preach about the dispensations tonight, about the different ways that God worked with people. He worked with men. He had a plan. It started when man broke it, and he kept adding to it and adding to it and revealing himself more and more. And because man was evil, he had to bring in the law. And then finally, God came down this week. Lawson and I read the story there that Jesus gave about the man who went away in a far country, and then he came back to receive of his own. Well, we have this story. Jesus came finally after many, many years. We call it Christmas. He came and lived among men. Emmanuel, God with us. But now, that was temporary for our ransom, but this is eternal. This is the final address. And so, yes, God came down for a short little while in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He was here a little while. God in the flesh, Hebrews tells us. Jesus said to one of the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen God. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. But it was only for 33 years. So it was really temporary. And then he suffered and he dies. And he buys our salvation and restoration and redemption and makes a way, provides the way for whoever will and whoever won't. And so this broken relationship up here in these first pages, this whole word is about making a way for it to get back together. And here, just as sure as these words, we have John seeing the city where that is finally fulfilled. Because what God wants is to live with men. And that's mercy. Because none of us are worthy of that. We read that there in Isaiah. And none of us are worthy of it. See, we're all corrupt. We're all broken. We're all miserable. Nothing that we can try to do. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but his, when we choose his way, then see, that's a different kind of righteousness. But our righteousness, we are not worthy of it. All of you woke sometime this morning, right? If you're sleeping here this morning, then you went back to sleep. But we all woke here sometime this morning, and I'm here to tell us that's mercy. Because what God wanted all through the scriptures, from this page to where we are in 21, was to make a way that he could get back to us. And we couldn't do anything about it. But he could. It's called redemption. It's called mercy. It's called grace. And so he came for a little while, 33 years. And then he buys back anyone who will decide. And he preserves them and he lives in them and he's preparing for us because he loves us, Raymond High said. John 3:16, 17, 18 tells who's saved and who's not. Those who are saved are those who decide. That's the choice of all men. And men read the Word of God, and the Word of God is preached. Thank you, Brother Vernon, for praying that I could preach. I think he said sharing before he prayed, but I appreciated that he said preaching, because sharing and preaching are not the same thing. Preaching is sharing, but sharing is not always preaching. And God lays upon men. God has laid upon Vernon. He didn't want to be a preacher, but God laid upon his shoulders the responsibility to preach what's in these words. Because if he doesn't preach that, Ezekiel says, the blood of men and listeners is going to be on his heart. If he doesn't preach that, and that's not the same as sharing. See, that's sort of a bunny trail here. So the word is preached. The Spirit speaks inside. It's called conviction. And Jesus said, a few will notice. Only a few, but those few will be the people of God, and it will be the people with whom God wants to dwell. And here's these verses. It's coming up that God will dwell among men. That's tremendous. So a few notice. They count the cost. These young people we baptized a couple weeks ago, that plan, young people, that decision to do that, that's not so you can be part of this church, although you must be part of a brotherhood. That is so that you can get to the city. That is so that you are now with God, but that you have this final address. That's what your life is about. The children of God, the people of God. And so here we have in verse 3 and 4, sort of the consummation of the whole thing, that God's coming down and dwelling with men in this new Jerusalem. And Jesus was here just a little space. And during that space, we have in John 17, we have his prayer. He came here, God with us, God Emmanuel, Jesus Emmanuel. But in John 17, we call it the high priestly prayer. We won't go there necessarily, I'll just mention it. But there Jesus prayed and prayed and prayed. That was God with us also. This is God with us in a new way. But that was God, Jesus prayed. He prayed three things. He prayed that he himself would do the Father's will, which was to make a way for man, or to bring redemption. And secondly, he prayed that he said, Father, take me back to the glory that I had before I came here to do this work. And so I came here to do this work. Take me back to that glory. So his second prayer was, restore me back to your abode, to your place. Take me back just like I was before I came to do this. And we know that God did that for him. But then, I think it's in one of the last verses there, he made this prayer, that those he had saved could be where he was. So that we could go back or could be with him. And, well, of course, we keep going with this verse. And this tabernacle of New Jerusalem come down, and it is God among men. See, that is this. It's kind of simple, but it blesses my heart. That those he had saved could be where he is. Where is he? Sanford, where is he? He's in the presence. He's in God's tabernacle. He's in God's house. He's with God. He's with God. Here we have in chapter 21, verse 3, this New Jerusalem coming down, and God with us. That was the plan. That's the reason. Christmas has nothing to do with gifts, except that he was a gift. We get distracted. We really do. I suppose Christmas is okay if we get the right focus, but see. So now John here in chapter 21 sees this with his own eyes. And I saw it, John said. I saw this New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And it goes on and talks about how he will wipe away tears. So John sees this. He sees the fulfillment, the consummation of the whole thing. He sees the holy city of God, its habitation, who God is, and we can't understand all this, coming down among men, the fulfillment of 7 millennia of time and ages. God with man. Just slow down and think about that a little bit. Just put on the brakes. Just think about that. 7 millennia, which is about all our minds can even try to think about, let alone eternity past and eternity future. God with man. Man with God, which is where we are now, is wonderful, but God among men is a whole different event. And it's coming up for the people of God. Now, you know, God's people, the world's people, and the worldling mind, and the worldly mind, and the secular mind, and the self-esteem mind, and the unsaved mind, and unbelieving mind, the fearful mind, the abominable mind, whatever mind you want to put in there. What I'm about to say next is not true about them, but the point I'm making is men of God, the people of God, have always wanted to see the God who saved them. Always want to see that. You know, there's an example back all the way back in Exodus chapter 33. Moses was a man, and it's in verse 18. He said, I beseech you, God, show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. If you got up this morning, you have mercy. But he said, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And so he told him to stand over by a rock. He said, Moses, stand over by a rock, and I'm going to put you inside of a little cleft there, and I'm going to hold my hand over it, and I'm going to go by on the outside, and then I'm going to take my hand away, and what you get to see is just the trail of my glory. That's all you can get to see, because if you see more than that, you just can't handle it. But see, all men have wanted to see God. They want to see the glory of God, but there's an example, and God said, you can't see me, I'll put my hand there, and I'm going to go by, and all you'll see is the trail of the comet. You can't see the real thing. All you can see is the trail. And it says that in that story, just seeing that trail of the glory of God was so that his face was so shining that he went down to the people. They had to shut their eyes. They couldn't stand it. That little trail of glory, not little, but we'll just say for lack of word, that trail of glory, that's what. Now imagine, here, God is coming down. This is the real. See? John says, Now imagine, John writes the Revelation and John only a couple years apart. Imagine, and John says, we are the children of God, and we will be as he, and what we shall be has not yet happened, but we know that when he does appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So here, what John got to see was not a hand on the rock and the trail of glory. He got to see God. We shall be like him, for we see him as God's people, that is. This is exclusive. You know, we live in a world that has all this woke ideology. Everyone has to be equal. Everyone's not equal because there's only two destinies. And some will see God and others will be cast out of the presence of God. All people see, I'll go shovel coal. Yes, you'll shovel coal. But you'll also be speechless before the presence of all God. So see, God, I want to preach about that tonight too because it's very misunderstood. God is not non-resistant. God is militant. He's of great mercy. But in the same way he's of great mercy, he is of great judgment. And God is militant against his adversaries. So, see, there's an exclusivity going on here. Racism. The race of God's people. If you want to use his words. There's a separation. There's only two ways. There's a separation, friends. And God's people, and it says, the holy city's coming down, and God will be among men, but only those who are his. It yet has not appeared what we shall be, but when it is, we shall be like him. The focus now should be like him now, because that's the only one that's going to get the privilege. And then, see, John said, or Jesus said one time in the Sermon on the Mount, he said that the pure in heart, what does it say? What's it say, Brother Alan? The pure in heart shall what?
See God.
See God. That's us. That's his people. So we got a glimpse of him now, but this is the real real. So redeemed have pure hearts, right? All the impure, this is further on in this chapter, all the impure and the abominable and the liars and those who want to just try to be good or whatever, but do not have faith, they have their part. And listen, we're all, among us is coming some of this teaching that the flesh is dead and crucified and never come alive again. That's not true. I'm alarmed when I hear that kind of teaching. It's among the Daystar churches. Our flesh, see, can get fed. And whatever you feed grows, see. So if you feed the spirit, then you'll go one way, but if you feed the flesh, another way. And so we have this choice. And the pure in heart shall see God, and John saw it right here. He said, God, this holy city is coming down, and God is with men. New. Now, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 26. Because we also have this false doctrine. Sometimes we hear that, the pages from Matthew, the old is just stories, and we don't believe in a flat Bible. But the truth is that the Old Testament, I'm just making that point, here in 11, chapter 26, read what it says. Leviticus 26, verse 11. And I noticed this because in my Bible, it says the tabernacle of God is with men, and it's cross-referenced. And my cross-reference takes me right here to 26:11. And I will set, this is God speaking to the Old Testament people, God's people, the Hebrews. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And here in 21 is the fulfillment of this, because God has always wanted to get ahead back of Genesis chapter 3. He has always wanted to put it back together and make a way to get it back together. So he promised this already back in Leviticus to God's people, and it's still true. And now we Gentiles, Romans chapter 10 and 11, we get to be on the tree, grafted in. So we're living in the church age now, the dispensation of the church. Everyone here, anyone here that's hearing the sound of my preaching, anyone here has an opportunity to be in. So God's, the point I'm making is that God's desire always was to be among men. It was us that broke it. And anyone who obeys, the Bible says, he becomes the author of eternal salvation, grafted in. And our home will be his home, and his home will be our home. One with the Father. Here we pray, have heard this first. He will be among men. It won't just be always, for always is now past. It will just be. It just will be. Can you imagine this? This thing that God has always wanted, right here, John saw it. And while it's yet in the future, it can be ours. So you see, again, my encouragement is follow after it and pursue it. You see these men, you see these secular men, Mr. Mosque, whoever you, they have this goal. And yeah, they kind of go around. Maybe they have Tesla, maybe they have SpaceX, but they have something ulterior. I don't know if that's a word or not, but they have a reason for this and this and this and this and this. And that all is pointing toward what they want. Well, God's people do the same thing. So it doesn't matter, Brother Vernon, if it's your tools or your farm or whatever it is. See, it's all a plan to get it. To have it. So follow and pursue it. I know you're young, but long for it and focus on it and hope for it and believe it, for it's coming. For God himself has promised it, and John already saw it and wrote of it. And God will keep his promises. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah, that's true now, but this is, I don't have the words. This is the final address. This is the ultimate goal. This is it. And it's a choice, and the Bible teaches us that God will in no wise cast away anyone who wants it. Anyone that wants it can have it. It's a gift. And the fact that we got up this morning is the mercy and grace that God will give it to us. Now, I just have a couple little things here to say about the rest of this chapter. And I don't know where we'll go next, because there's a lot more here yet. But see, it talks about the foundations of the city. I'm assuming you knew this chapter. We didn't read it this morning. But it talks about the foundation chapter. What's written on the foundations of the holy New Jerusalem city? Does anyone know? Anyone willing to tell me? What's written there? It's in verse 14. What's it say? What is written on the 12 foundations of the holy city? Is Judas's name there? I don't think so. I know so. It could have been. It must be Matthias or Apostle Paul. But it's not Jesus' name. Why? Because he chose to go the other road. And he betrayed the Lord, and he was so taken back for it, he hung himself, and the rope ripped, and he fell down a rock, and his guts ripped, flew out. That's what the Bible says. That's a picture. See, not everyone's going to get here. And that makes me sad. But all who decide can get there. And Paul speaks of failing and getting distracted and heading the wrong way and wondering why the buses don't change their signs. That is something that can happen to all of us. And Paul says, what if I chose, but then chose wrong and became a castaway? Apostle Paul says that. And Hebrews writes about turning back. And Jesus said, be careful, because there's all kinds of snares and things that you can get entangled in and forget and not make it here. So here we have this temple. I don't know what 12 has to do, the significance, and he talks about the size of it. 12 gates, 12 angels, 12 tribes of Israel, a golden measuring tape, the size of it. But there's no temple there because God is the temple, and not just God, the Lamb is there, and no need of the sun, no need of the sun and moon that we know about. In fact, God and the Lamb will be the light of it, and I guess for some kind of human comparison, 20 times 20 suns put together somehow or another. It could be the Lamb and the light of it. And verse 7, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And the book, the ancient words that God has given to the redemption story will be reality. Praise the Lord for that. And that's why we should bear each other up and admonish one another. And when Brother Vernon sees something that I'm getting distracted, and he should come and say, Edmund, you know, I think your sign's wrong. We help each other because we want to be the people of God and the holy city of God coming down and dwelling with us. Let us pray.